Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trinity Talks. My name is Kyla.
I'm Jordana.
And my name is Still Bill.
And I'm Johanna.
And we are here to continue unpacking our sermon series together. Today, we're specifically talking about a sin called wrath. Now, when you hear the word wrath, Bill, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is my experience of wrath as a kid, and that was watching the Star Trek movie Wrath of Khan.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
The character Khan was very, very angry.
Yes.
And he was just all about revenge and wanting to pay back 10 times all the people that he felt did him wrong.
Okay. So 10 times specifically.
Well, I mean, it was a lot.
Okay.
It was like it was very overkill. And I think kind of reflecting on it afterwards, that was a pretty good depiction as a character of wrath. It was really was the wrath of Khan.
Okay. Yeah. I think though, outside of maybe Wrath of Khan, and maybe sometimes in church we talk about like the wrath of God, but in general, wrath is not a commonly used word, nope. I don't think. Mm-hmm. So maybe let's start there. What are some other words that maybe are similar to wrath that people use more commonly?
Angry.
Okay.
Rage.
Rage. Yeah.
Infuriating.
Yes. Other things. Like contempt is kind of similar to wrath.
Resentment
is kind of similar to wrath. Disdain, yes. Look at, we're just like a living thesaurus here. That's great. So there's all of these words, but how are they different than wrath? Maybe let's start with anger, because that's, probably the most common. What are some similarities between anger and wrath, and maybe what are some differences?
I'd say anger is the umbrella term.
Okay.
You know. I mean, and then the others speak to different intensities or durations or kinds of anger. Resentment's a much more simmering internal anger towards somebody that doesn't necessarily get expressed, whereas rage just feels excessively expressed, right? Violence.
Right.
And so, anger feels like, you know, when we think about anger management, we are talking about like something broader, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That would be my answer.
Yeah.
They're all like aggressive, I guess. Like they're all rooted in some form of aggression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about like how you then like express that aggression, right? That sort of gives us some of those nuances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd differentiate between anger and wrath. I think wrath and the, and just to say that, you know, anger, when we're talking about it as a seven deadly sin, it is anger is not the sin. Wrath is the sin, right?
Okay.
And we read in scripture, and we heard today from Rob that you can be angry and not sin. But when you're talking about wrath in the Bible, it is talking about going past that feeling of anger into an inappropriate action.
Right.
I think it's more similar. I think rage and wrath is more similar. I think wrath is not a word that is commonly used in our culture, but I think everyone understands rage, and that's like you can be angry, and it is an emotion, you know, and it could be aggressive emotion, but when you think about rage, it's definitely that, right?
Right.
It's aggressive and it's hurtful and it's out to get you, right?
Right. Yeah. There's like that anger, which is I'm like unhappy about something. I like something is wrong in the world, and then rage or wrath is like I'm gonna like hurt somebody, right? Because of this emotion or this experience that I'm having. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you already just alluded to, Bill. We can be angry and not sin. So how does that work? When is anger sin, and when does anger become wrath or sinful? Any thoughts on that? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'd like to refer to the sermon today.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I actually thought that Pastor Rob's notion that sinful wrath is very often too hot, so explosive, impetuous, unthoughtful, uncontrolled, right in the moment.
Yeah.
Lasts too long. That's your resentment. That sort of planning, vengeance. That's that sense of holding on to grudges, or misguided. It's not directed at an appropriate thing. Somebody cuts you off on the road and you respond. And it's not an injustice that you're angry at. It's a kind of hurt ego, or it's right. some sense so of something. It's a minor inconvenience.
Right.
And you end up exploding in anger against them. And right. so you've got the things that, the ways you can be angry,
yep.
as well as what you're angry at. Yep. And in both ways, it's possible to sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm thinking for wrath, in the Bible, the wrath is often reserved for God, right?
Right.
It's not a, mm-hmm. I mean, for us, it's talked about as a sin.
Yeah.
But when you read about the wrath in the Bible, it's the wrath of God or the God's wrath is upon us, or mm-hmm. the day of wrath is often referred to as the final judgment in the end times. So I think there's, it's okay. We'll let him have it.
Let God have the wrath.
I think he can do it right. And I think we get it wrong sure. a lot of the times. And so, and it even cautions us in one of the scriptures that was in Rob's sermon today was from Romans 12:9. It says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
And so, we can be angry, and we can respond in our anger. But I think when it comes to wrath, I think we leave it for God.
Right. Right. Yeah. So then that takes us back to asking, okay, like where is the line? Right. Like, and so I think you started to answer that, right. To yeah. say like, if it's burning too hot, burning too long, and directed at the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So I think that gives us sort of three helpful guidelines, but I think that's still, it's hard to know sometimes, right? Yep. Like mm-hmm. what
I also, sorry, yeah. if I could add also, like when you're angry, what are you, you know, that notion of what you're directly angry at and what you hope to achieve. And I think one of the ways you can think about anger also is, especially in respect to another person.
Yeah.
Right. Do you want them to hurt, or is your goal correction, guidance, reconciliation?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we were talking earlier this week, like you brought up, you know, parenting.
Yes.
Right.
Parenting. Like there are times when I have to be stern with the kids.
Right.
You know, simply consistently being nice. You know, there are times when they need to know that there are consequences for either, you know, or some things they could be doing that are actually dangerous and
right.
harmful for them in the long run. Right. And I need to be stern about making those clear to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I scold them,
right.
you know, there's an anger that is geared towards correction, towards guidance, towards right. building them up.
Yeah.
And that's very different from lashing out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. yeah
or
yeah.
wanting somebody to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so those goals have to be differentiated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Anger's a tricky thing, right? I mean, we're told that being angry is okay,
mm-hmm.
but in your anger, don't sin.
Right.
Right. So there is a line that you're yep. talking about. So, and then we're also told that we shouldn't rush to anger. Right.
right.
So another scripture verse, James 1:19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry."
Right.
So there's a good model
yeah.
for us in terms of how yeah. to deal with anger. And that ultimately, anger by itself is not the solution, mm-hmm. right? Another verse is, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires."
Right.
Right? I think it's okay for us to be angry,
mm-hmm.
but if angry is our solution, then right. we're not giving God the space to provide the solution.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Either for our own self, in how we feel, or in the response to whatever we're angry about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in our culture today, like we said, we don't use the word wrath, but we do talk about anger. We mm-hmm. talk about where we feel resentment. So is there a sense, like, how does our culture sort of treat these words? Is anger seen as an appropriate thing? Is it seen as something that we're not supposed to express? Yeah, I think you were sort of sharing with me earlier that there was some tension there, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's kind of okay to be angry. Like, it just mm-hmm. is. But in some cases, people feel like they need to repress it.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets, like, really unhealthy, is when you just have the anger building up and you keep putting it down.
Right.
Like, it has nowhere to go, and that can actually manifest in, like, physical symptoms of, like bad health and stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there is a sense in which throughout this whole series, we sort of come back to, there's often two extremes in which people respond to things, right? And so there is, I think you're right, a very real sense of, like, it's okay to be angry, right? Yeah. And people are encouraged to express that. But I think there are also circumstances and sort of subcultures in which it says, never, ever be angry about anything, right? And then it does lead to those, like, negative health effects like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Other thoughts? Like, what does anger look like in our culture? Is it acceptable?
I think, I thought our culture was just, it's almost categorized certain kinds of anger as harmful. And so I think that's easy to recognize. Abuse, assault, right? We have these words for anger expressed in these really harmful ways. Bullying even.
Yeah.
You know, what does it mean like? On the other hand, I think that there are, our culture feels more and more angry in many ways, despite calling all these out, right? You've got the internet that makes anonymity, you know, where people are aggressive on the internet. They can bully on the internet. They can threaten on the internet without consequences,
right?
And they can dehumanize whoever's on the other side.
Yep.
And so you've got increasing senses of fear when we've got this kind of a, you know, digital culture of anger that is easily expressed and, you know, and it's everywhere, right? If you're online in these spaces, whether it's Facebook or social media or anywhere, you can, you know that that exists. So that's one space where I think our culture, you know, on the one hand, it is calling out anger. And on the other hand, there are entire spaces that, you know, where it's prevalent. And it's destructive.
And I was thinking as you were talking there, like, I wonder if part of the reason that anger gets expressed so easily on the internet is because we don't have enough other spaces to express it in a healthy way. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but I think folks are feeling a sense of anger, a sense of, like, injustice, and they just don't know what to do with it. And suddenly they're given the internet where they can do that openly and anonymously in some cases.
That becomes a problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes it's a case of injustice. Sometimes it's a case of wounded pride. Sometimes it's a case of entitlement. Sometimes it's there's a range of other issues. Sometimes it's the sense of helplessness. People needing help. Feeling a lack of agency, feeling a lack of that help, and then sort of burning in resentment and anger at you know, any number of things. So there's all kinds of ways in which the internet creates a forum, you know, for people who feel, I would say, fear or helpless in certain ways to sort of lash out.
I think that's very well expressed, Jordana. For me personally, I think I struggle with anger, but it may be in a different way. I often get people say to me, you know, Bill, how come you never get angry? And I guess that's because I don't physically show my anger. I don't get angry at people. But that's mostly because I just keep it bottled up inside. And I think, you know, not to go into, you know, psychoanalyzing things, but it's all my mother's fault. I think I just had... you know, I had some not very good examples of how to deal with anger, and I didn't want that to be part of my life. Again, like we said, you know, one way pendulum swing to the other way, and the so because I didn't want to be an angry person, I guarded that in my life, and just my outward expression, it was always kind of just to not show anger, but bottling that up inside. Just, and Rob talked about it, about inappropriate expressions of anger, right? When you're not, when you don't deal with anger, you're not appropriately angry in your life, then it gets bottled up. And for me, it was it came out in just being in lashing out at the people that I love the most, right? I mean, it was the and so instead of directing that anger in a positive direction or towards those who needed to hear it, I was just lashing out at. I mean, it was eating me up inside, and then it was coming out in inappropriate ways, like affecting my family and loved ones and stuff, which is not cool.
It's no, not, No. The other thing that I think about when I think about, like, the internet is this term, like, rage bait. Mm-hmm. That, like, people put things out there specifically because they want to make other people angry and react to them. And if we're really honest, there is a little guilty pleasure in the back of our minds that, like, is enjoying watching internet debates play out. I don't know.
Popcorn.
It's like, oh, they said that. Ooh, they took it there. Like, yeah, I don't know. Actually, so I don't know what that says about our culture.
Yeah, I think that's part of the architecture, though, of the internet in certain ways, right? And it was one of those debates that got me off Facebook because. It was a few years ago now, and a friend who I knew well in person, you know, had posted something in a way that I knew he would never do in real life.
Yeah.
And there was this debate that happened online.
Yeah.
And then I went to respond, and I stopped myself. I was like, no, I wouldn't do this in real life, you know. Yeah. And I also knew that he would say this very differently, much more gently. I knew the kind of person he was, but the tone of contempt, of anger, you know, that emerged online was so different from what I knew he could be.
Yeah.
And then I recognized how I was responding. I was like, look, I just have to stop this. I don't like what I'm seeing in you. I don't know.
Right.
I don't like what I'm seeing in this medium, which is encouraging and enabling this kind of speech.
Yeah.
And I don't like my own response. And mm-hmm. that was the point at which I said, I'm getting off this. You know, it felt like, even though we had not actually spoken, it felt like our relationship had shifted based on how I was seeing him.
Yeah.
And all of these sort of, you know, complicated emotions were clashing. And I thought, this is not healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the point at which I had just stop being on Facebook.
Right. Well, it's good to know when to check yourself.
Yeah.
I think in a professional setting, when I got angry about stuff, I would allow myself to write the letter that I wanted to write.
Yeah.
Right. So if I was responding to something, you know, an association or whatever the situation was, something got me angry. So I wrote the letter that I wanted to write or the email that I wanted to write.
Yeah.
And then I gave it a day.
Yep.
And then I would rewrite, and then I'd look at it again and maybe show it to a couple of people and that kind of stuff. And I'd realize that, you know, in my anger, I went too far. Like I was being, and so I could say the same things, but less inflammatory, less accusingly, right?
Yeah.
And then, having given it that time and get the, you know, the comments or reflections of a couple of the people, I was able to rewrite that letter, rewrite that email in a way that maybe would bring about a more positive result as opposed to just more wood to the fire. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so we've been talking about anger in a sort of neutral or negative sense, in which, you know, sometimes there are the things that shouldn't cause us to be angry that do, that cause us to lash out. But what about when there's things that, like, we should be justifiably angry about? Is that possible for us to have a kind of righteous anger or justified anger?
Yep. I think definitely.
Okay.
Definitely we can have a righteous anger.
Okay. So what does that look like? When does that happen?
So, I mean, when I think of righteous anger, I always think of both the anger at something worthy of being angry about.
Yeah.
Something that is unjust, something that somebody's oppressing someone. And the way the response is directed.
Okay.
Both have to matter. So I think we live in a culture where a lot of people are very righteously angry.
Yeah.
And are not necessarily responding because that's one of the dangers of, I think, sinful anger, just going back a little to sinful anger. The danger is that you feel you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel justified in victimizing somebody else or really harming somebody else because you're the right one and they deserve to be hurt or they deserve to pay or they deserve to, you know, that's where I think even when you are right,
mm-hmm.
a response can be really problematic, mm-hmm. right? The places where you've got a directed anger, and you know, I'm thinking of the greats, right? Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Martin Luther King Jr., even Gandhi's nonviolence, sort of you oppose the injustice in a way that does not reduce the humanity of the other people. Like, if you think about Jesus's notion that we pray for our enemies, love our enemies, right? You know, be angry and don't sin, don't pull from today's sermon, don't take vengeance into your own hands. One of the things that anger can tempt us to do is to reduce the other person to their mistake or to their fault. And it is a fault, right? It is an injustice. And I think there's always a sense in the Bible that that, given the grace we have received, that is not the answer. You do not reduce the person you oppose to their fault. And so even anger that is expressed in times of injustice, if that goal is in building and reconciliation, correction, right, if it's always just, well, now we will be, you know, deciding on justice for you. That gets dangerous, I think. And that, you know, even a righteous anger can be directed in really harmful ways.
Sure.
I think there's a difference between wrath and righteous anger, and maybe that wrath part is where it goes into not positive direction. But when you think of wrath, I'd say that wrath is just wants to start a fight. Okay. And then righteous anger, this was said in the sermon today, righteous anger wants to do what's right. And I really like that turn of phrase. And I think it just, I think it does speak to the heart of both what wrath is all about and what righteous anger is all about. And for me, I think righteous anger is never about me. And I think that's a distinction, when I'm thinking about kind of, being angry or feeling wrath or rage. It's often an injustice, that I feel is against me. And so I kind of check myself in that situation. I think righteous anger is most often, I can include you, but it does it, but it's, it is being angry about what is happening, something bad happening to other people. You know, people are being oppressed or they're being abused or, and you get angry about that and want to do something about that.
I just do want to add though, that if somebody has been on the receiving end of abuse, right, they might feel angry and they'd be right to be.
Oh, of course.
So when you said it's only about other people, I just wanted to include that.
I didn't say it's only about other people. I said when it's only about me. Then I check myself to make sure that it is an appropriate anger and I'm responding appropriately. I just, for me, it's a red flag. Doesn't, it's not an absolute one way. I'm very few times am I an absolute one way or the other.
Yeah, you were speaking about your own, I just misunderstood. You were speaking about your own experience, where I was just going to suggest for somebody listening, right, if they've been on the receiving end of that kind of assault or abuse, you know, it may not, it may be about them in the sense of that healing that is necessary, that working through that, you know, the sort of pursuing of justice.
It's perfectly okay for them to be angry.
Yeah.
Right. But in their angry, in their anger, they can also sin in responding to that. Right.
And they
I heard a really powerful sermon on healing from a Baptist bishop in the States 20 years ago.
Right.
And he was speaking to people who have been abused in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, in the congregation, not necessarily abused by the church, but I guess that counts too.
Yeah.
But he was speaking to people who had been abused and who were hurt and in pain and angry about that abuse. And he was challenging them, and it was really challenging, but he was challenging them to let go and to forgive. And on the basis of that hurt and pain and anger that they felt day after day was just their abuser abusing them again and again and again. And if they forgave them, they let it go, then the power of that abuser in their life would dissipate.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's true and helpful. I think, again, always going back to the pairing of things, but I think you need to pair that also with a message that there is a time to be angry.
Yep.
Yeah.
That there is a time to feel that, and that, you know, we don't jump right to letting it go. Right. And what letting it go looks like, I think, is an important thing to say in that conversation too, right?
Yeah.
Because I would never want to say, to anyone who's experienced any kind of abuse, you just need to forgive them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore that means they get off scot-free. Right. There's no due process.
There's definitely a process.
Yeah, no, right? I know that's not what you're saying. I just want to make that explicit.
No, I agree. Thank you.
Yeah.
And including certain kinds of actions that redress, right? Like you do and can, and it's legitimate to pursue a legal action against them to direct that anger towards the law, towards, you know, seeking for help, towards those spaces where vengeance is not the place you go.
Right.
And at the same time, you act in the cause of justice to sort of hold the one who has oppressed to account.
For sure.
And
for
that those are places that we need to sort of speak to as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wonder, Johanna, when you think about this concept of righteous anger or like being angry about the right things, like what comes to mind for you?
Oh my gosh. I don't get angry that often, honest. I mean, the only thing I think of is like, I don't get angry often. And then the few times I do, it's like really, really disproportionate. Like it'll be like, I stub my toe and it's like, oh my gosh, I hate everything.
Sure.
Or I don't know, just like, finding ways to express it, like that's what comes to mind for me, is like finding ways to express any type of anger that you experience, whether it's righteous or unrighteous, is probably really important, because that's like what affects other people and also yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one thing I tried was boxing.
Okay.
But in the first week, I sprained both of my wrists on separate occasions because I was hitting wrong and very hard.
Right.
And that probably wasn't like a good way to express my anger because it was unsafe.
Sure.
But
so not angry at all is what you're saying.
I mean, I don't know.
you sprained your wrist.
Yeah, I did. No, not people. Just like
things.
Yeah, it was like a big like punching bag.
Oh, those punching bags.
And it was like really
damage.
Hard actually.
Yeah.
So like when I hit it, then it like almost fractured both.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little intense.
Yeah. So I'm not the best with like anger.
Sure. No, that's fair. But I also think about like other conversations that we've had around, you know, things like fast fashion or like social media or things like that, where you like are really passionate about those things.
I never think of that as me being angry.
Right.
I think
maybe it doesn't express itself as anger.
Yeah.
It's
I'm just like zealous. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really mad or like irritated. I don't get frustrated that often. Like I'm just kind of here.
No. Oh, fair. Yeah. No, I feel like that's maybe not an anger, but it's like an underlying passion that then fuels itself into right action and decisions that you make about, you know, what you're going to buy, where you're going to spend your time.
But that could start with being angry about the injustice.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's true, actually. Like, I mean, they do like make me not happy.
Yeah. Right?
Okay, well, that's one way to say it.
You have more chill language for your anger.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Until you stub your toe.
That's not a bad thing.
Yes. Yeah.
No, not a bad thing at all, for sure. Yeah. So then we're talking about wrath, talking about anger, and we've sort of danced around some of the ways that it might be helpful or it might be harmful. So if someone is feeling like anger is a big part of their life and they're feeling like it's not something that's helpful, what would be some sort of steps forward that we might sort of suggest?
Like maybe like just seeking catharsis, like just stuff that'll just express it and get it out of your system so that it's not like a constant in your life, I guess.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like punching a punching bag.
Oh, well, yeah, but like but safely, like with training.
By correctly punching.
You learn. Yeah. I didn't have gloves either. I just kind of went for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so that example like calls to mind for me. I can think of like as a teenager in high school, there's all kinds of anger flying around and for lots of different reasons, but like people's go-to response, and sometimes my go-to response, was just to like hit something, right? Just like hit like, I don't know, the wall or like a bathroom stall. Oh, you see, you don't know.
there's a big dent in one of the lockers in my high school.
Right, because somebody got really angry. And like, okay, yes, that is a kind of catharsis, but the kind of catharsis you're calling for is like something that's actually like healthy and helpful.
Yeah, maybe like some
and
like
will
yoga
not
or
harm
something.
You. Yeah, yoga, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like do hit a punching bag safely.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
Put the gloves on next time.
Yes.
But the other thing I would say is reflect on why you're angry, right?
Sure.
Like is something happened to you that feels a little out of control.
Sure.
And you wanted it, you know, you had your own plans, your plans are gone. Is that why you've exploded?
Yeah.
Or are you feeling frustrated about something and you're lashing out? Or what is the real emotion below the anger, right?
Yeah.
Is there fear for something? I know the times when I have sort of barked at my kids the worst has been out of a space of fear. Like, oh my God, you know, this is going to be damaging for them. And, you know, when I shout at them in those moments, it's way worse than when I have a sense of I'm guiding you.
Right.
You know, and so I've had to apologize to them in cases like that. So in situations where anger becomes something where you're not reflecting on what is happening there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what is really, is it a sense of lack of agency? Mm-hmm. Are your plans, you know, out of thing and you've got a deadline coming up? Or, you know, is there fear there? Mm-hmm. Is there helplessness there? Do you need to seek help instead of just expressing the anger? Is there something deeper happening that you need to reach out, right? Yeah. So if you're not getting to the root of why you're angry. There are times when I snap at the kids because I'm just tired after a long day of work and they haven't done what they should do. And I'm like, before I know it, I've snapped at them, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot, when I could have been more gentle in telling them what to do. And so in those cases, I have to like, oh my goodness, I'm tired here. I'm losing patience easily.
Yeah.
Right. So there are these other things that underlie anger and it's worth reflecting on what it is that's making you.
Exactly. I think that kind of reflection and that kind of understanding of self is so important for us to in terms of how we deal with anger.
Yeah.
And I think also we could look to Jesus as an example.
Sure.
I think Rob did a great job bringing up three or four different situations in Jesus' ministry where he got angry about something. And so, you know, so it, following that model, we may be, what are we getting angry about?
Right.
You know, why is it making us angry?
Yeah.
You know, what are the things, the positive, healthy ways that we can respond to that? Mm-hmm. And follow Jesus' example of what he did and why.
Yeah.
And look into that a little bit, you know, in our own personal faith story or journey. Mm-hmm.
And I do want to reiterate what Rob says about praying your anger, right? It has helped me. You know, there will be times when I will tell God, I'm just furious. I'm so angry right now, or I am afraid, or I am, you know, just that. If we talk about healthy expressions of anger, that's a great place to have a healthy expression of anger. So you are expressing the frustration, the fury, the upset, the whatever it is you're feeling, and there's somebody listening who can take it.
Yeah.
Right. And as you can release it to God. And I think that is so important to be able to process what is happening within you.
Yeah.
And at the same time not to damage relationships and things around you.
Yeah.
So
The last thing I would just say is, you know, something that you said when we were talking earlier this week was thinking about like the spiritual dimension of what's happening as well, which goes back to, you know, what you were saying about who is my anger directed at.
Yeah.
Right. Like when there is something in the world that is making us angry, it's because often something is not right in the world. And the reason that something is not right in the world is not because this specific person is a terrible person. It's because the whole system, the whole world is broken, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, our anger doesn't need to be directed at, you know, wrath or vengeance upon this particular person. It's, let's recognize the, like, whole system here and recognize that, like, God calls us to love our enemies. God calls us to pray for those who persecute us. And that's real hard.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's really hard, but what it gets at is that underlying like spiritual dimension of sin and brokenness in the world that ultimately, if not in this lifetime, maybe in the next, like we do get that sense of like peace and reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it's through a hard process.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well said. I think it's a really good place to direct your anger and have an understanding and a spiritual understanding of your anger. So
I
agree.
For sure. So pairing that with some of this other practical stuff, you know, we don't want to look at the world only through this spiritual lens. We know that we also live as people in bodies who experience broken things, but I think we we bring them together.
Yeah.
Really well. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, folks. This has been a hopeful conversation about anger,
mm-hmm.
which is really good, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for those who are listening, thank you for tuning in and listening to us talk this through. And hopefully it's prompted some reflection in your life as well. And you can find some helpful ways to move through those situations that cause anger in you. And we'll see you again next week.